94.1 in Denver and 96.9 in Boulder. I'm Joel Cantalamessa. Hopefully you are filing out of Moby Arena for the men's basketball game versus Georgia State tonight. And now just starting to tune in here for some more CSU talk. We got a good show for you tonight. Brett Anderson, CSU's Vice President for Advancement, will join us to talk about an on-campus stadium, the fundraising behind that, and to close out the hour. A lot of good stuff to talk about, a lot of exciting stuff. So thanks so much for joining us and making us a part of your Friday night. CSU, coming off a bye week, perfect timing for this program, a chance to get healthy. Obviously, they had Garrett Grayson has had a groin injury. He's had a couple weeks. He won't be as hobbled as he has been in recent games. Rashard Higgins will be back in the lineup after missing the Hawaii game a couple weeks ago. So that's a good 3 weeks of healing for that. They're going to need him. They're going to have to put up a lot of points in this game because New Mexico is coming to town. And yes, they are in last place of the Mountain Division at 1-5. It's last place in the Mountain Division in 3-7 overall. It does not really speak to this how much this New Mexico team has improved under Bob Davey. CSU is basically a team that they've owned New Mexico historically. Believe it or not, the second most wins over a single opponent of a single opponent. So they've beaten New Mexico a lot of times. But the Lobos have an option offense under Bob Davey that is tough to stop. If you've watched them at all this year, you look back to that Boise State game a couple weeks ago, they put up 42 points in the first half and really they showed speed, athleticism, and they were really disciplined. They are led by a freshman, redshirt freshman quarterback, Lamar Jordan. They don't throw the ball a lot, but yet he's thrown for 700 yards and 5 touchdowns. It's an offense, though, that it's designed to run, run, run. I mean, they're an option team fully, just like Air Force. Quite a different style of 500 yards himself. But they're a 300 monster, so you've got to focus on three different guys that you add in there. Their leading rusher, Jarrell Presley, leads the team in rushing, 900 yards, 11 touchdowns. Their second leading rusher is Terrion Gibson, who's rushed for 700 more yards and 7 touchdowns. The team overall averages 318 rushing yards per game, which is third. So this is an offense that is going to be tough for CSU to slow down. You know, they put up, what did CSU beat them last year? It was 66 to maybe 49. So they put up a lot of points against CSU last year. And CSU historically has not done a great job at stopping the option. It's really prying. But other than that, man, it seems like every year the Colorado State struggles with stopping and slowing down and containing that option. Did a pretty good job against Air Force last year. I think they only gave up 160 yards rushing to Air Force. But against New Mexico last year, New Mexico ran all over the Rams. And fortunately, a shootout tomorrow. Defense, excuse me, New Mexico has an opportunistic defense. They're +4 in turnover margin. CSU is really going to have to take care of the football. Excuse me. They're going to have to take care of the football. And defensively, you got to make your tackles or UNM is going to break one in and, you know, they're gone. And that's what happened. You saw that happen many times a couple weeks ago against Boise. This team, despite their 3-7 record, they have played teams very tough. The only team that blew them out this year is Arizona State, who went into Albuquerque and anybody else. And that includes that Boise game, San Diego State. And, you know, they lost Air Force by 4. Last week they went to Utah State, who was one of the best teams in the conference, and lost by a touchdown. So they're playing some good football. It is going to be a challenge for Colorado State. And the other thing is that this, and you've seen this happen many times where, you know, a team, you know, these seniors, it's emotional. You've got family on the field. Coaches are giving you hugs. Your players are hugs. Or, you know, so your mind is more on nostalgia and how this could be your last home game. You know, they might have a chance if they could get that conference championship game, you know, host. And then you got to somehow get up to play a football team who's 3-7. So this is a big time pitfall, if you ask me. I mean, CSU is going to have to. This is going to be where Coach McElwain and their staff earn their salaries because you've got all those things stacked against you. The kickoff time, all those things tied together are going to make this a challenge for sure. Now, CSU is looking for their 10th win of the season, it'd be 10-1. Man, that would be only the second time ever that the Rams have done that. 1994 was the other season that they've done that. So it's certainly a special season. 23rd in the coaches poll. And unfortunately, they are still nowhere to be found in the college football playoff rankings poll, and nor are any of the other teams from the general five conferences. And meanwhile, there's 7-3 loss teams in those rankings. Minnesota, Louisville, Clemson, Oklahoma, USC, Utah. I really don't. I'd like to see CSU stack up against them. I don't think it's fair what's going on with the polls in this committee. How can an undefeated Marshall team not be considered ahead of a couple of these teams? Certainly how is CSU not in the mix? So, you know, and the reason we're keeping track of all this and keeping our eye on me, and you've got Utah State next weekend. You know, if they somehow trip up, CSU's in the running for one of those major bowl games, those New Year games. Most likely what some most projections have is CSU in the Fiesta Bowl. Can you even imagine? And the interesting thing, the neat thing is that commentators around the country are taking note and know what can happen. But as McElwain would say, you've got to focus on, you know, what's in front of you. So make sure you get to that game tomorrow morning. If you can, it's on Root Sports regionally, 11:30 a.m. Mountain Time. And another big note is that with Thursday's announcement from the that Dr. Frank consider building an on-campus stadium. So, Dr. Frank outlined those four options. They said they'd prefer one of the two options that include building a new stadium on campus rather than renovating Hughes Stadium. It's interesting that they pinpointed option number three. CSU came out with, you know, in their design team came out with the plans for what they would want to build in this stadium, the capacity, all the amenities. They have the artistic drawing, how everything would be. Now, going in this option three, this scalable stadium model, which would mean you'll do what you have in the budget. 1,000 seats, they would maybe build 30,000 with the option to expand in years to come. They'd maybe leave out some amenities and leave out a few suites or whatever so that you can you have what's in the budget now to pay for those things. Now, the only problem with that, you'd give them the land, they would finance building the stadium, and you'd share some of the revenues from that. There's lots of different ways a partnership like that could work. But the problem with going with option number three and scaling it up is that really, as part of your vision for building the stadium, yes, you want to get people to campus. You talked to Kelly Lyle from the Colorado one last week, and he thinks it's a more far-fetched goal. But we've seen a lot of crazy things shake out in conference realignment over the years. So that still has got to be at the forefront. You've got to build this stadium right the first time. Do it right immediately. So if that opportunity presents itself, you know, at $100,000 or $100 million and you build it at 30,000 capacity, is that going to be as attractive to a Big 12? Or are you going to build a gem that has all the amenities immediately and has got, you know, 36,000 seats with, you know, standing room only capacity to 49. We're going to talk to Brett Anderson about that in the next segment and what his thoughts are on both of those options, his reaction to those committees' recommendations and what he would really recommend that Dr. Frank do. Brett has got a unique perspective. He is for 20 years, made a boatload of money, retired, and then was hired by CSU to work in their Alumni Association office, and then brought on basically to be the main fundraiser for the university. And he spearheaded a capital campaign that raised over $500 million in 4.5 years, and now he's also heavily involved in the stadium effort, and he's sure that the stadium happens. But here he is at the forefront, and he'll give us a unique perspective of why CSU needs to build this, how it will benefit CSU, and exactly what option he envisions should happen. Dr. Frank is set to make a recommendation based off of those recommendations on December 4th through 5th. And I've got it on very good authority that fans of a new on-campus stadium are going to be very, very happy come December 5th. So hold on tight. When we come back after the break, we'll have Brett on. We'll talk about that and a lot more. Porter, CBN Potts, They've been home of the CSU Rams since 1974. They've got 5 Front Ridge locations across from the Flatirons Mall in Broomfield, just west of I-25 on 120th in Westminster, Greenwood Plaza Boulevard off Arapahoe Road in Englewood, C-470 in Broadway and Highlands Ranch, and of course the original 1415 West Elizabeth in Fort Collins. Let's give them first shot. We'll be back after the break with CSU Vice President for Advancement, Brett Anderson. Stay with us. You're listening to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports. Yeah, before, you know you're semi-good looking, and on the streets again.